This is Maryland Morning on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Welcome back to the eighth episode of The Lines Between Us. One of the major components we want to incorporate into this year-long series is feedback from you, our listeners. Of course, Tom Hall, our producers, our guests, and I have and will continue to examine issues of inequality. But it comes more alive when you share your personal stories and continue the conversation after the broadcast ends. At the website linesbetweenus.org, we've created a Your Stories page so you can tell us about where you see inequality functioning in the Baltimore region. Today, we're going to share some of those stories. Our first Your Story came from John Wesby, 36 years old, a resident of Patterson Park, husband and father of three. Wesby moved to the Southeast Baltimore neighborhood in 2007. He said he found his dream home, but it was located on a block which, at that time, was in the midst of what he called an open-air drug market. Wesby said inequality is most sharply seen in the extent of opportunities presented to young black males.
I think there is a segment, a large segment within the city that has not been exposed to things outside of their everyday life, whether that be just educational opportunities or social events or cultural events and so forth. So there, in a way, is a narrow-mindedness about some members in the community. And so I believe that the divide lies there. Of course, this is America, so there's always the divide between the haves and the have-nots and what that leaves. Being a black male and seeing young black males with no opportunity other than, you know, the hustle of the streets, it's just really disheartening, and I don't know what I can do to fix it. And, you know, of course, I want a safe neighborhood, and I want my children to be safe, and what they do brings about danger. So, you know, you have that constant internal battle, you know, between my people and my children's safety. You know, you don't want to see them suffer, but at the same time, what they're doing to survive is a detriment to my safety, you know? The community at large needs to just see how great things could be if we live with that sense of community that we want to take care of the place that we live in.
John Wesby of Patterson Park. The drug trade and drug-related violence were just two reasons why Nicole, a 31-year-old mother, said she chose to leave her home in Northwest Baltimore. Nicole is a participant of the Baltimore Housing Mobility Program, in which participants in public housing and in the Housing Choice Voucher Program, formerly Section 8, can choose to move to suburban areas. Tom discussed the program in the November 2nd episode. Nicole said she was happy to leave the city for Columbia, where she and her son have more opportunities and see more diversity.
I live in a diverse complex, and that's what I like, and his school is diverse. So he has a lot of diverse friends. They are Spanish, African-American, all kinds. So that's what I like about it, because he had, you know, he didn't just have one set of friends. I became friends with the parents, so now I have diverse friends. The scenery out here, the air, the environment, no corner stores on the corner, no people, well, in most areas, there's no people hanging around on the corners, you know, and the crime rate was really low, and the schools were awesome. So far, my son is doing very, very well.
Another listener talked about her son and his school, but unlike Nicole's son, who has several diverse friends, Patricia Palmer of Rogers Ford, just outside the Baltimore city line, said her son was missing the diversity that used to surround him at his former school. In an email, she wrote, "I didn't see the lines when I moved to Baltimore 17 years ago from Annapolis. There, my elementary school-aged son went to a public school with a very mixed enrollment, approximately 75% African-American to 25% white. Unfortunately, the mix had been caused by white flight from a formerly 80% white school that had been designated for busing from the city. When I needed to move to Baltimore to accommodate a new job and a messy divorce, I was shown several communities and selected the affordable and good schools, Rogers Forge. When I went to pick up my son from his first day of fourth grade, the first words he said to me in shock were, 'Mom, where are the black kids?' I had not even thought about the lines in the frenzy of moving, but obviously they were there, and my son and I were the losers." That was from Patricia Palmer of Rogers Forge. On 88.1 Maryland Morning, this is The Lines Between Us. I'm Sheila Cast. We're hearing excerpts from listeners' your stories. Grace Willis, who lives in the Barclay neighborhood, is determined to stay in her home in spite of the problems that surround it. She lives in the home her father purchased when she was in middle school. She said although she has no plans to leave, others have, and she understands why.
Sometimes you feel that you're just fighting and fighting and fighting. And if you're not being surrounded by people with the same values and the same interests that you have and the same concerns that you have, it makes a difference. It does. And it's hard to change the opinions of people once they're adults.
Lottie Sneed of Northeast Baltimore said community engagement is one way to confront the issues that are present in many Baltimore neighborhoods. She emailed us a comment which said in part, "On yesterday evening, I walked with residents of an East Baltimore neighborhood. We wanted to see with our own eyes a new fence that had been erected to eliminate illegal dumping at night. Later, the community matriarch and I gathered at her home to make calls to neighbors, inviting them to participate in a scheduled neighborhood cleanup. Upon completing the calls, I stopped on one of the neighborhood streets. I saw a resident that we had called earlier on her porch. I stopped to chat. She and her family have lived in this community for over 50 years. For just a moment, she and I dreamed of stabilizing a drug corner by purchasing and establishing a community safety house in the midst of the thriving drug activity. The beginning of hope is the ability to imagine something different. We have that." That was from Lottie Sneed of Northeast Baltimore. One problem for the Northeast Baltimore neighborhood of Bel-Air Edison is a high foreclosure rate. It's a working-class, mostly African-American neighborhood with a high percentage of owner-occupied homes and affordable home prices. During the housing boom, investors took advantage as those prices rose. Then the foreclosure wave hit. As part of a program called Healthy Neighborhoods, paid for by stimulus dollars, St. Ambrose Housing Aid has been renovating foreclosed homes and putting them on the market. The community organization Bel-Air Edison Neighborhoods Incorporated has been marketing those homes. Here's its executive director, Johnette Richardson, telling us a story about an open house on Cliffmont Avenue that illustrates how dramatic are the changes that have come to the neighborhood.
The one story that struck me the most was a neighbor who was renting on that block. And she'd walked in, she and her daughter, and they went from room to room. They could not believe like how beautiful this home had become. And they began to cry. And I'm like, "Why are you crying?" And she's like, "We used to rent this house." And they rented that house. It had mold in the basement. They had clearly one of those investors that we talked about earlier, not really knowing how to do this work. And they had to leave because the home was just inhabitable. And so it got into the hands of St. Ambrose. They fixed it up, and she and her daughter could not believe it. And so I talked to them about, well, would you want to own this home? Because you can. They weren't in the position at that moment, but we were able to wrap them into our pre-purchase work. And, you know, they went to a workshop. They're working with our housing counselors to improve their credit score and get ready.
German LaViera was born in Venezuela and moved to Southeast Baltimore 25 years ago. She said she's observed the changes in the area, most notably the growing Hispanic population.
First, I live in Price Street, and then we bought a house near to Patterson Park. You know, when I came here, no was Hispanics around. The most now around there are Hispanic. That's it, like I say, oh my God, everywhere you go, not only here in the Baltimore City, Baltimore County, wherever you go, there are Hispanics around. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the cost of life is less expensive than the olden city, because they say the city go to Virginia, that's expensive when they have to go pay for a room, like $1,000, that's the same in New York. Now they are coming, a lot of people from New York. Mm-hmm. And I ask why you are come here to Baltimore. They say because it's cheaper to live here in Baltimore than New York. The food, the rent, it's easy to find a school near to the house. That's why. It's a better life.
The last Your Story we received was about the election and came from Derek Pulliam in Reservoir Hill. He said because African Americans were disenfranchised for so long, he makes it a point to vote every election year.
Historically, my people have had a hard time with being recognized. So because so many people gave their lives for us to have the right to vote, I thought it was a historic occasion for us to take advantage of every opportunity that we have to cast a ballot and let our voice be heard.
We've heard these listeners' stories. Now it's your turn. Visit thelinesbetweenus.org for a list of all the ways you can share your story with us and with each other. And we also want you to tell us the places in Baltimore where people from all walks of life come together. We're calling them intersections, and we're creating a map with all of them. Tell us where you see people intersect. Let us know at 410-881-3162. Again, that's 410-881-3162. Or email us at lineswypr@gmail.com. lineswypr@gmail.com. We want to give you one more way to continue the discussion. The Facing Race Conference, a national multiracial gathering of leaders, educators, journalists, artists, and activists on racial justice, continues today and tomorrow in Baltimore at the Baltimore Hilton. Some of its many workshops will discuss sexuality, immigrants' rights, arts and culture, and racial justice. We've got more on our website. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Lines Between Us. I'm Sheila Cast. Quick break, then finding a place at the Sabbath table, no matter your background. Stay tuned to 88.1.